This is Bob Ambrogi, and we are here live at the Clio Cloud Conference in San Diego. We're recording a series of interviews today with some of the people who are in attendance here. And I am sitting now with Ed Walters, the co-founder and CEO of Fastcase.
Hi, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
for about our 100th podcast together, I think. Right. I've interviewed you a number of times. And just recently, just in July, actually, at the American Association of Law Libraries convention, because this is a big year for you guys. And got to sit down with you and your co-founder and reminisce a little bit.
You know, that's got to be my favorite podcast interview ever. Like, there was...
Yeah, flattery will get you everywhere.
No, it was really sweet. Like, you know, Phil and I have only ever appeared on two podcasts together ever. 20 years of working together. And you could tell, it was very sentimental for the two of us. We really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, congratulations. Congratulations on your anniversary.
We can link out to it in the show notes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked a lot in that podcast and in other times about Fastcase, but I want to talk about some of the news you've had in recent months, and I don't know, maybe start with your acquisition of Next Chapter. That was pretty interesting news. Can you tell me more about what happened there?
So we actually met Janine Sickmeyer at the Clio Cloud Conference. And I think it was probably a couple of months before
Year's Clio Cloud Conference?
No, it was either the first or the second. I can't quite remember. Okay. I think it was in 2013.
Yeah.
So it must have been the very first one. Here nor there. It was a couple of months before LexisNexis sold their bankruptcy form filing business to Fastcase, Topform, later Fastcase BK. Yeah. And, you know, we had met Janine at Clio Cloud and knew that she had a bankruptcy form filing business. She had started in the cloud and was expanding from one jurisdiction to many jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Lexis had a product that was many jurisdictions and was like the most insanely like uncloud product you could have. It was on a compact disc. You had to call them to buy it. They would like FedEx you a compact disc that you could load into your PC only. You had to have new discs every 4 months or something.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And you needed to have a compact disc player, which most PCs don't even have these.
Exactly. And so we were both kind of doing the same thing, but from different angles. We were trying to move that product to the cloud. She was trying to take a cloud product from one jurisdiction to many jurisdictions for bankruptcy, which is crazy. And so, you know, she was the first phone call that I made when I found out that we were going to buy Topform, later Fastcase BK. And we've had a very friendly relationship with Janine and her team as they built really, I think, one of the textbook legal success stories, like a legal tech company for the ages. They've done such a great job without any outside financing, really, a bootstrapped success.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've had a very close working relationship with them. And I think we both kind of realized over time she could really scale the success that she had in the bankruptcy market beyond bankruptcy into immigration or family law forms or really any legal task that is repeatable where you can help lawyers in a kind of a checklist manifesto sort of way. But to scale, she needed some more wind in her sails. You can't really bootstrap that. At the same time, you know, I think we realized Fastcase BK really, you know, was several laps behind Next Chapter for the web.
Yeah.
And so we saw an opportunity both to build out the Next Chapter product suite in a way that would be very helpful to Fastcase users and to help this kind of bankruptcy product that we'd inherited from LexisNexis to really be the best in the world. And I think that's the promise of the Next Chapter acquisition.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was roughly a month ago. I was talking to Janine here this morning. I saw her here, and she was telling me that they've been furiously working at transitioning customers over to their platform from Topform. But how does this fit into what Fastcase does? Why I can understand easily why Janine wanted this relationship with Fastcase,
right.
But what did Fastcase want, and what does it do for your customer base?
Yeah, well, so I think there's a lot of Fastcase subscribers who are beyond legal research, trying to automate better parts of their practice, trying to do some lightweight document automation, or trying to have repeatable tasks be done with software instead of with the same person starting with a blank piece of paper every single time. And so, you know, right now those FastCase subscribers can stop doing their legal research and pick up that task some other place, you know, DocAssemble or Neotalogic or something else. Or they could, you know, home bake their own document automation solution. But I think we realize there's no reason they would have to, right? In the same ways that we made Next Chapter's bankruptcy software really elegant, very smooth, easy to use. The same way we made the legal research process through FastCase, very simple, very intuitive, and very powerful. We could do the same thing for these document automation tasks. And it really kind of, this is going to sound a little corny, but you know, the reason we started FastCase was to democratize the law, to help more people have meaningful access to the law. And we really think document automation is going to be the next step in that. So it is a progression, but a very natural progression from our mission.
Yeah. I mean, another acquisition you've made in recent years, how long ago was it? Docket Alarm, year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So how do you see what you're doing with Docket Alarm fitting together with what you're now doing in the bankruptcy space, and kind of where does that go
sure.
from here?
Well, maybe a word about Docket Alarm. So Docket Alarm is a docket tracking and analytics and research platform. When we acquired it a couple of years ago, it was mostly federal. And they had, I think, probably like 50 million documents that they had pulled from Pacer, which was great. And they did all kinds of awesome analytics based on that data. They could see, like, you know, what law firms represent what companies over time, and you know, what judge was the best one for a particular kind of cause of action, how long things would take. So the analytics platform was really cool. One thing that we liked about Docket Alarm that will resonate with what I just said, let me tell you a story. If you're at a big law firm and you get a complaint, you go into your firm's database, your document management system, or DMS, and look for an answer. There are plenty of answers in there, probably one that matches the complaint that you just got. You pull that up, and you use that as a template. You don't file it with the court, but that's what you start with, right? If you're at a small firm, you start with a blank piece of paper. You don't have a document management system with, you know, hundreds of thousands of pleadings. Well, Docket Alarm, when we acquired it, the idea was to expand it from federal to state, and now it has 320 million complaints and answers, pleadings, briefs, and motions from courts all over the country, state and federal. And so the aspiration here is that when people in small firms get a complaint or need to file a document before a court, need to file a motion, they can search Docket Alarm just like someone in a large firm would search their own document management system. And instead of starting with a blank piece of paper, they could start with a template.
Yeah.
Something that looks a lot like what they are trying to file.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to start from square zero, they can start from square three, maybe.
Right.
It levels the playing field a little bit, right? And so this is another one of those things that lawyers do over and over again, and that they could really mess up if they don't have like kind of a checklist or a guide that we can give them the guide to. So I think now the promise for Docket Alarm is that it could be the DMS for small law. And with 320 million documents and adding like a million documents every day, it has the potential to be even bigger and better than any large firm's document management system. So you can see how all three companies, FastCase and Docket Alarm and Next Chapter, really feed this democratizing the law, making legal services more accessible and more meaningful to more people, and kind of leveling the playing field for small law firms. Maybe I can say at Clio Cloud Conference, all three had native integrations into Clio from the very start.
Yeah.
And so they all fit together. And I know Jack Newton and his team have said for a number of years that they have a vision for Clio to be the operating system for modern law firms.
Yeah.
I think we are really trying to build out now the productivity suite. I don't know whether we're Microsoft or Google, but there is like a word processing software and a spreadsheet software, maybe a presentation graphic software and an email program in there. The thing that everyone does on an operating system. So whether it's legal research or forms or tracking the dockets for a bunch of different states, you can do that with Next Chapter or Docket Alarm or FastCase. and all integrate into your case management system and your billing system through Clio. And so the every great operating system had a killer app. Yeah. For Apple II, it was VisiCalc. For Microsoft Windows, it was probably Microsoft Word or Microsoft Outlook. I don't know, that sounds a little bit grandiose, but I really do hope that we can have those killer apps for this operating system. Yeah. With more than 900,000 lawyers running more than 1 million searches a week on Fastcase right now, the number that's growing, even though I can't believe it's still growing, we really do have kind of a killer app here.
Yeah. And for Fastcase, what's the common thread there among those different, between dockets, document assembly, legal research, you're in publishing as well. What pulls that all together in your mind, and what does that look like going forward?
Yeah, I'll even add legal news in there. You know, we acquired this paper called Law Street Media, and we're hoping to get that, again, out by the end of the year.
I hear you've got a killer advisory board.
It's a great advisory board, including Bob Ambrogi. And with an advisory board like that, how can we go wrong?
Right, exactly.
But so it's interesting. These components aren't completely overlapping, but they share a lot in common.
Yeah.
So, for example, with Docket Alarm, there is this great new set of tools that reads a docket sheet and pulls out deadlines and then creates calendar entries for them so you don't have to try and figure out when stuff is due. You know, one of the greatest causes of malpractice for lawyers and small law firms is missing deadlines. And so we're going to start extracting those calendar deadlines from docket sheets. Well, guess what? Bankruptcy filings also have calendar deadlines that they pull out into calendar entries. So now we can start having a calendar server inside of Fastcase that works for Docket Alarm and Next Chapter and integrates into Clio, right? And so that's great. All of those services, Fastcase and Docket Alarm and Next Chapter and Law Street Media, will have alerts. So now we can have an alert server that can pull together all of the alerts for saved searches on Fastcase, for cases you're involved in on Docket Alarm, for cases involving potential clients on Docket Alarm, for deadlines and events in bankruptcies and Next Chapter, for news articles that you care about, into a single morning newsletter that is the most compelling piece of email any lawyer can get any day. It pulls together all of those critical things, including deadlines coming up, news articles you care about, cases filed against your clients, to make this killer alert service. And we can build an alert server that works for all of them. So you can see, like, there's starting to be common components under the hood, case law APIs that plug into all of them.
Right.
And you end up with this kind of flywheel effect where one piece of software makes the other one better, and then a third one makes the other two better. And then, over time, you end up with a very compelling integrated suite of applications.
Yeah. Do you think there are challenges? I mean, to the extent, obviously, you accept sort of Jack's vision of this operating system for law, and you see yourself as an essential component of it. What are the challenges to getting broad acceptance of that within the legal community? Yeah, I mean, do you think there are challenges? Do you think the legal lawyers will buy into it easily? Or
I've been trying to do it for 20 years.
Right.
this is Fastcase's 20th anniversary of trying to get lawyers to buy in.
Yeah, but you were
in.
Much more focused for a long time just on the research. That was what you were.
Yeah.
And you've expanded in the last 5 years, maybe much more dramatically into related but broader areas.
Yeah. Well, so I think the biggest challenge is getting lawyers to adopt anything, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard to get lawyers to buy things. We're skeptical by nature, right?
Yeah.
We're trained to be skeptical. And I think over time we have sort of cracked that nut. I mean, people now trust Fastcase. It might be the most trusted legal research service in America right now, at least based on what people are using. Certainly we have got more subscribers than Westlaw or LexisNexis. We're probably running more searches than any legal research service. And so I think building that trust is the hardest part. I mean, that's a long, long slog. And I think you see this. There's a lot of legal tech companies who, I don't know, maybe with venture backing or something, and I'm not talking about legal research here, I'm talking about all legal tech, where venture money comes in and says, just like in the scooter business, within 2 years, we'll dump the money in and we'll have like market penetration in 10 biggest cities. law doesn't work that way. People are much more skeptical and they're much slower to buy. Yeah. And so it's a hard market for venture capitalists who might need their return in 5 years or 7 years. And it's one of the reasons that bootstrap companies like Next Chapter or Docket Alarm or Fastcase might have a slight advantage. Even though it takes longer, there's less pressure to do like these big bang,
you can
win
grow
everything
a little more
years.
Organically. And
There's not pressure to get returns for limited partners or something within a short time horizon.
Yeah, and you've got a good, strong core business, so as you expand out of that.
With that said, I think the best counterexample is Clio. I think Clio has done a terrific job of showing what you can do with a smart investment of venture money. There's certainly good success stories like Casetex and Ross Intelligence and Avvo and others where they've really built very big businesses with the backing of venture capitalists.
Yeah. What about the legal research market specifically? I mean, you just mentioned Casetex. We've got Ross. We've got Casetex.
Don't forget Judicata. Great company in
Judicata.
There.
I won't ever forget Judicata, but Judicata is just California still.
Right.
A number of them out there. How does that market play out in your mind? I mean, obviously, all of these companies can't survive, or can they?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's what's so interesting about this time. Everything is so wide open. I mean, you and I have had this conversation. Is this the golden age for legal research technology? There's probably been more innovation.
Yeah.
If you look at Ross Intelligence and Casetex and Judicata, I would say even Fastcase in that group. Westlaw and Lexis, too.
Yeah.
Like, more innovation in the last 5 years than there was in the 50 before it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing time to watch what's happening. And I don't think anyone knows whether there's room for more than two or more than four or more than seven. I mean, we'll have more, I'm sure, legal research startups over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't see why it couldn't be a pretty big ecosystem.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, my experience with a lot of lawyers, especially in smaller firms, is they're reluctant to buy more than one legal research service, maybe two.
Sure.
If they're smart, but they're not going to go beyond that. So a lot of them are already going to have. I mean, as you said, you've got, what is your user base? Something like 600,000 lawyers.
900,000.
900,000 lawyers who get you through bar associations and or direct subscribers or other ways.
Through their big firm.
But that's close to all the lawyers in the United States already. What is it? 1.3 or 1.4 million lawyers in the United States. And so they're already having you or a casemaker through their bar. Maybe they might already have a Westlaw or a Lexis or something. It seems as much as I think companies like Casetext and Ross are fascinating and doing really innovative stuff, I try and understand how they sustain themselves in that up against that kind of competition. And I hope they do, and I
hope so too.
I think they're great companies.
I think the way they do it, based on what I can see, right, and I can't see everything, I think the way they do it is through unique, differentiated products.
Yeah.
Right? So I think Kara was a great example of that. Casetext created a category.
Yeah.
Right? And they really made a product that was new that you would buy even if you had a Fastcase subscription.
Yeah.
And there are lots of lawyers who use Fastcase and Casetext for Kara.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I think I really encourage that.
Yeah.
You know, I think what Ross is doing right now with artificial intelligence, with questions and answers, with the idea that you can do more from legal research than keyword Boolean searching is really smart. I mean, I think that they could really make an entirely separate market from that, right? And so I could imagine a world where people might have, like, you know, Westlaw, so they can have Wright & Miller.
Yeah.
But they use Fastcase for their blocking and tackling work, the majority of their legal research, and maybe proof the brief at the end with Kara.
Yeah.
You know, now, to do that, you probably need a smaller subscription to Westlaw.
Yeah.
But I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah. I was using Casetext this weekend. I was working on a brief this weekend, and I tried Kara to see if it could help me find I was trying to find a case on a very sort of unique point. It didn't help me, but it helped me rule out the fact. It basically helped me know that the case I was looking for didn't exist. That was really the issue.
Sometimes that's the most important thing you can find.
Right. So, I think it's a really cool tool. Anything else on the horizon right now?
So I would just say, like, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. There's a great West product called Practical Law.
Yeah.
There's a couple of initiatives inside of Fastcase right now that we're calling Impractical Law. I don't know if they're going to fully be possible, but they're pretty exciting frontiers. And one of them is the idea that you really could use docket sheets as maps, that you can figure out when a case is filed what's likely to happen by aggregating the experiences of parties in matters and jurisdictions similar to yours. And you can see they typically last 14 months. They typically have 19 steps. Here's how far apart they are. You know, based on the rules in your jurisdiction, we can tell you here's when the deadlines are likely to be unless they're moved. And for the first time, you can really have a roadmap for what's going to happen in a case. And I think, you know, lawyers in this circumstance, instead of being replaced by AI, sort of get this new role with their clients. Instead of just saying, we're going to face the unknown together, they can say, here is your roadmap for what's going to happen next in this case. And not just for cases, but for deals and all kinds of other, like, kind of form document matters. I think for the first time, lawyers will understand the practice of law better. They'll use things like CLIA's Legal Trends Report, or they'll use maps from Docket Alarm to really understand what they do better, how their stuff benchmarks against other firms, and what's likely to happen in a matter. And for every step of the way, we'll have practical guidance for them. Templates, checklists, lists of affirmative defenses, the cases that are cited for matters like this. We'll have, like, this very rich bank of similar documents or document templates, document automation tools that they can use to fill those out. So the future goes a little deeper than just doing the research to write a brief. It becomes the research and workflow for writing that brief.
Interesting. So it sort of seems to fall in between some of the litigation analytics that's out there right now and some of the more traditional just court calendaring software, that kind of stuff.
I think it answers the dreaded question for analytics, so what?
Yeah.
Right? And I think the so what is, here's what to do next.
Yeah.
Right? Now I understand I'm going to file before this judge, and here's what I'm going to say and why, because this is what works.
Yeah. Well, Ed Walters, pleasure to talk to you as always.
It's always fun, Bob.
Thank you for taking the time out of this busy conference to sit and talk to me.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to see you.